This program features hacks performed either by noobs or under the supervision of noobs. They are far from perfect. Accordingly, Anti-Meme and the producers must insist that people attempt to recreate or reenact any hack or activity performed on this show to get it right the next time. Anti-Meme asks that if our listeners do get any of these hacks or culture jams correct, that they submit information on what and how they did it. In other words, please try this at home.
So I was at this Mongolian barbecue restaurant place today, and I was talking with Medicine Soup, and we were eating there, and sometimes my language is kind of foul, and part of that is just because I've been talking to Decoder now and then, so he's been fucking me up on that. But anyway, so I'm not talking nice, and there's his parents there with the kid standing in line behind us, and the dad walks up to me, and he's like, excuse me, but could you cut down on the language? And how did I react? Well, I just said, oh, I'm sorry, I apologize. Yeah, I'll stop swearing. Yeah, that's rebellious me, but the reason for it is because I take kindly to confrontation. If he just looked at me funny and gave me dirty looks and implied that he was disturbed by it, I probably would have swore a lot more and probably would have got graphic with the content of what I'm saying. And though I don't necessarily think that language itself is bad, I disagree with that. The fact that he was polite about it and confronted me about it, I respect that. Anyway, this is episode number 9 of Anti-Meme. The show topic this time is going to be on catchphrases and cliches. You know, I thought I'd name the show Anti-Meme, say it's about culture jamming and memes in general, and I say it's through the hacker perspective and all that stuff. I thought I might do at least one episode that's semi-relevant to what I'm saying it is. So this episode, I'm going to try to cover catchphrases and cliches. But first, this is something I haven't covered yet. I should probably cover memes themselves. I mean, you know, that's part of the title of the show, but we really haven't even talked about memes that much. So, what is a meme? A meme is a pretty old concept, but the word itself has been developed within like the past 20 or 30 years as far as being used popularly, though there's older Latin forms similar to it. But a meme is, the way I think of it, is it's like an idea that travels like a virus. And not just ideas, but again, you know, catchphrases, music even, symbols, art, and even down to political views and such. And just about is that simple as far as what a meme is. What gets a little bit more complicated is that the spread of a meme, and there's actually a lot of study behind it. There's a lot of argument that memes travel and develop like genetics. There's a few differences, though, but there are a lot of similarities to it and how they grow and how, you know, there's even the battle of the fittest of memes and how, you know, the weaker ones will die out and such. So, a little bit of trivia, you know, why did I call this show Anti-Meme? Well, actually, the reason for me calling the show that was kind of a mistake, actually. What I really should have called it was Anthememe. That word in logic, I explained it in a couple episodes ago, but what that word means is it's a logical argument that would otherwise be considered a fallacy without the extra included premise that was not stated in the argument, and that kind of argument's an anthememe. I, at the time, time, forgot that was a term for it. I thought it was anti-meme, and that's why I called the show that. But either way, it works. I'm leaving an anti-meme. So that's pretty much what a meme is. Now, this show topic is going to be on catchphrases and cliches. So the meme we're going to cover in this episode is catchphrases, and more just catchphrases, cliche catchphrases. Now, to get to preface this, I wouldn't say that catchphrases are bad. I mean, I really kind of look down on them just because they're often insincere and uncreative. They're pre-programmed thought and discussion, but they're not necessarily bad in the same way that TV isn't necessarily bad. It's just usually most of the content that goes through that channel or medium is bullshit anyway. But some catchphrases and memes can still be good, and memes especially can be used for good, though they are used a lot for evil. And I guess I wouldn't just stop at catchphrases, but like I was saying with pre-programmed thought or discussions, it seems that people do have, like, just whole concepts that they just whip out in context, but they don't necessarily agree with what they're saying, but they don't really know what they're saying. Sometimes they just say it because it sounds clever and they heard it somewhere else. But what's really kind of annoying is they say it as if that those are their own words. And what annoys me is I have heard those words before, and I would call bullshit on it sometimes. I mean, most of the people, I don't know where they're getting it. Maybe it's the talk shows they listen to. I don't know, or maybe just spreading through the channel of people that they talk to. But a few examples of this, and one of them, no offense to the person that told me that this catchphrase, or not catchphrase, but this idea, because he is a pretty cool guy. It's just when he said this, I found it kind of funny, the logic of it. But here's the phrase: if you outlaw guns, only outlaws will have guns. No shit, you just outlawed them. You know, like, to use the same structure of that argument, I'd say if you outlaw toothbrushes, only outlaws will have toothbrushes. I don't follow that logic. I understand that, yeah, if guns were outlawed, then the people that are trying to follow the law, yeah, they may not have guns, which means only the criminals will have guns. But that's assuming that people that previously legally had the guns, that's assuming that they want to follow the law by getting rid of their gun. Now after the guns are outlawed, then those people that previously had the guns can make a choice of whether they want to get rid of their guns and be a law-abiding citizen, or keep their guns and now become an outlaw, which I would say it's a new breed of outlaws. It's not the same way we thought of outlaws before, because the definition has just been changed. We made something else against the law. And maybe some people kind of have a muddy image of that mental structure there, but again, if you replace some words with different words with the same logical structure, it can better illustrate how faulty the argument is. So that's why I used the toothbrush analogy. And I've been criticized with using that example by using the straw man fallacy. And what that fallacy is setting up a similar but weaker argument and then tearing down that straw and then saying that I've won the other argument. I would clarify and say that's not a straw man, because I'm not making a weaker argument. I'm actually mapping the same structure, and that's fine. That's what logic is its structure. Another catchy little argument is the whole love it or leave it thing. Commonly the form that I hear it in is, if you don't like America, why don't you just fucking leave? And that sounds pretty clever, you know? Like, if you don't like it, why don't you just leave? You know, no. See, America, and I'm just kind of going off of history of our founding fathers and everything, but the way that our government was made was for the people to be the government. We're supposed to be involved. If we don't like something, we're supposed to get involved and change it for the better. That's what's supposed to make the country so great. But it seems that in this time, or in this day and age, to use a catchphrase there, it seems that if you go against that grain at all, you're looked at as unpatriotic or even a terrorist sometimes. But really, I would argue that questioning your government if it's not doing what it should be doing is patriotic. And again, I may be passing on an already existing meme to begin with that argument, because I've heard it been refuted that way. For example, I've heard Emmanuel Goldstein on the, I think it was probably a really old episode of Off the Hook before Off the Wall existed, but I remember him refuting that argument to a guest that called in and was pissed off about Emmanuel criticizing a specific part of the government, maybe the telephone system, who knows, but that's pretty much how Emmanuel refuted it, and I agree with that refutation. That's even a word. But those kind of catchphrases, they're really easy to use because they sound so clever. And again, what annoys me is that people use them as if they're their own. And the people that haven't heard them before are like, oh, that guy's really smart. I mean, and to get go even beyond an idea, another example of that is when people are talking about spiders, how often, just ask yourself, how often do you see somebody just get triggered by that and go, oh, guess what? Do you know what the most poisonous spider is? We all know the fucking answer to that one now, but people still will say that like they're some goddamn genius because they know what the most poisonous spider is. And it sounds so clever for them to say that because, oh, you would have never suspected it was the spider we don't really pay attention to as being bad. You know, like, maybe I'm specifically annoyed by that kind of predictability. Then there's another situational catchphrase that really, really bothers the fuck out of me. It's like, it's so bad it's a pet peeve of mine when people say this. Mostly, and again, back to the sincerity card, it's because it is such an insincere thing to say. And that's the TMI card, or too much information. And the reason it annoys me is because situationally, typically, it's not really too much information. It's really not that big of a deal. People just, I don't know why people say it. It first, maybe it sounds cool to them. Maybe that's something more to think about as far as the whole idea of memes, because they're not really saying it because they agree with what they're saying. It just sounds like the right thing to say at the time, because they've heard other people say it and it sounded appropriate in those situations, and people laugh and, oh, it's funny. But to me, I find it really insincere, and I only hope that is too much information for them because of the way that I react to people saying that. And for those of you that know how I react, then you can laugh now. Insert laugh track here, right? Well, that was last episode. But anyway, I mean, as far as an example that I can remember, and Medicine Soup was around for this, this is actually when I was at work, when I was doing a radar job. And typically I was doing the electrical side of it, but this is when there was not that much work in the electrical side of where I was working. So I was temporarily working in the mechanical side, but all that's kind of not very relevant. The only relevant thing, or semi-relevant thing, is I had a different supervisor that I really didn't give a shit about. So anyway, I stood up because I had to go to the bathroom, and, you know, I said, I'm going to go urinate, you know, or I'm going to go urinate now. And that's kind of what I usually say, you know, when I got to go to the bathroom. I'm not like, oh, I need to use the lavatory. No, I mean, fuck, I got to go piss, you know, whatever. And this guy, my supervisor, is like, oh, that was too much information. I'm like, that is not too much information. At first, you know, I'll play off the reactions, but I'll start small. I'll be like, well, you know, I took a lot of vitamin B complex and vitamin C, so I'm pretty sure my urine's gonna be bright yellow and neon and beautiful looking. And then he'll give a face like, oh, you know, and that just kind of cheers me on, gets me through that loop. And I'm like, okay, so if that's really bothering him, then good. Okay, I'll play off that. And, you know, I'll say like, well, I ate Mexican food today, and that's really, really gonna tear me up. I think I may have to do a number two. And, well, guess what? You know, I have colon cancer, and that means I bleed out the ass. So I'm gonna have this brown, neon, yellow blood, piss, shit, crazy concoction in the bathroom, and it's gonna stink really bad. And I have a camera phone. You want some pictures, motherfucker? And what is it I was doing there? I was jamming that. I guess, you know, to say I'm trying to be relevant to the show topic, that's what I was doing. It's a meme that I didn't like, a catchphrase that's insincere to me, so I jam it. I'm kind of a punk like that, I guess. I know it's petty, but if anything else, if I'm not changing him from saying too much information, if I'm not changing his behavior, say there only is a 10% chance. It's a good chance, though. I don't mind the 10% chance. That's enough. It's not too much effort for me. And if it doesn't change him, well, it's sure the hell entertaining for me. And believe me, it was entertaining for the rest of the people around me. Now for the anti-commercial. This one has to be probably the worst commercial for this format, because it's mostly all audio, so I'll explain it all out. And I'll try to include a link on the website for the actual video side of it. But it's a McDonald's commercial, and it features a couple of, like, three guys eating their burgers on the street, and there's a woman walking by, and they're all staring at the woman, obviously attracted to the woman. And you know, you'll hear that audio part when it gets to it, but basically she has a baby on her back, you know, her son, and she's trying to say that the only man she's looking after is her son. And I'll play the audio right now. Thank you.
ordinary guys. There's only one man I go to McDonald's with.
All right, back from the commercial. Now, the biggest reason I use this one is just the blatant catchphrase at the end, the "I'm loving it." Well, actually, the real reason that I use this commercial is just because I didn't have a lot of time to go look for commercials, so that was one of the first ones that I found. But, yeah, I don't know if anybody's heard the quote. It's from J.P. Morgan. He said, "For every decision, there's the good reason and the real reason." Yeah, so I just gave you both. Okay, now back to the show topic. And this is such an unorganized show. I apologize, but, you know, if I cared more, maybe I would fix it. But I, like I said in a lot of previous episodes, I have a lot of other stuff going on. And anyway, back to my unorganized show topic, which is me just reading off catchphrases and saying why I don't like them. Well, I mean, I'll go over a couple of other ones that I don't necessarily not like. You know, like, I don't listen to it that much anymore, but I used to listen to Newsreel with Sean Kennedy, and there's a few catchphrases that I kind of found funny that he used. You know, like the whole "don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining" format. Yeah, I thought that was funny. And another one that I found kind of humorous is he always said that, like, you know, "that's hot" or "that's sexy," you know, when talking about, you know, technology, stuff like that. And I find that funny because the main meme starter of that catchphrase, as far as who it really became popular from, is, you know, Paris Hilton and all that bullshit. But I think it's kind of funny that it weeded itself into our culture so heavily. It's just kind of more example of how memes can spread like a virus. And it's just something to take note of. I'm not necessarily saying it's bad. It's just something to know that it's a tool and it can be used. And we don't have any restrictions ourselves from using that kind of stuff. So, I mean, if any of you guys have any good ideas for good catchphrases that can be used for our own good, then, yeah, email those in. Maybe I'll use them. I don't know, you know. Another catchphrase that I see in a lot of music, is, as far as lyrics goes, and I don't really get this one, but it just seems to be used because it sounds cool in the songs that the bands have heard before it. But I don't know, has anybody ever heard the "writing is on the wall," that catchphrase? I don't know if it's just me, but I hear that one too much. "The writing is on the wall." I don't know. I don't get it. But, you know, another catchphrase, "you gotta do what you gotta do." Yeah, we cover that as a fallacy, but I find that one utterly ridiculous just because it's self-reference and it's not really saying shit. Another catchphrase, "knowing is half the battle." G.I. Joe! Yeah, that doesn't mean you won the war. Doesn't mean you won the battle. People, it's another weird, stupid thing, too, where somebody just says knowledge or knowing and some retard triggers that little catchphrase in their mind and they'll say, "oh, well, knowing is half the battle." Okay, yeah, you impressed me with your cleverness. I'll bow down to you. Another catchphrase, "I don't give a rat's ass." I don't know why I have that one on the list, but I'll skip to the next one. Another catchphrase, or not really catchphrase, but just, you know, one of those commonly used formats to start saying something is, "no offense, but..." Whenever anybody starts something off with that, I already want to kick their ass because you know what they're going to say after that is going to be offensive. In fact, sometimes it seems like when somebody starts something off with that, you can tell that their intent is to offend. So that is a little bit of doublespeak, and the "no offense, but" format kind of bugs me. Hey, bugs me. That bugs. That could be another catchphrase. Another catchphrase, "if it ain't broke, don't fix it." Well, I don't agree with that in every situation, too. Usually, the common situation I see is when somebody's trying to improve something, and then some guy that can't handle change comes by and says, "if it ain't broke, don't fix it." Well, you know, sometimes it is broke. It's a system that isn't working as well as it could be working. So, in a sense, it is broke, so I am fixing it. So, don't tell me it ain't broke, fucker. Another cliche catchphrase that I love is, "it's not you, it's me." Now, that one, it's a cliche, but I've used it all the time, and I usually use it when I mean it, too. But, anyway, next catchphrase. And as I keep going with that theme, you know, somebody hears that word, and it triggers a catchphrase in their mind. This one never is used appropriately. I think it's stupid, but whenever somebody talks about truth, some clever motherfucker has to chime in with saying, "you want the truth? You can't handle the truth." It's so out of context most of the time, I just want to smack those people too. Now, another little catchphrase is, love is blind. Well, I have a different take on that. In fact, the next few catchphrases I'll mention, I do have a different take on. But love is blind. Yes, it is. When you're in love, you don't see any of the bad shit that happens. Man, I sound bitter, but that's, you know, typically what people say when they say love is blind, is that to be in love, you don't have to look at all the superficial things, and you can look past that. Love is blind. Well, I mean, the dark side of that is when you do fall in love, you are blind to some of the things that you should be seeing. Speaking of blind, another catchphrase is blind as a bat. That one, I think is kind of stupid because bats, yeah, they are blind, but they still have a different way of seeing and perceiving things. So if somebody says I'm blind, you know, blind as a bat, I'll be like, well, cool, because I have a superpower now and I can sense shit without seeing. But which another catchphrase that I think is kind of inaccurately stupid is curiosity killed the cat. And oh yeah, I hear that one a lot because, you know, we're hackers, we are curious. That's, you know, the little catchphrase I always say at the end, question everything, let's curiosity. And people don't like curiosity. Well, some people don't like curiosity, but curiosity killed the cat. Well, you know what? I'll use another catchphrase or catch idea, and that's, you know, the cats have 9 lives. So even if curiosity killed the cat, I still have a few tries, so fuck you. Another phrase I don't really like that much is plain and simple. People say plain and simple to preface an argument or something they're trying to say, like, oh, look at this. This is plain and simple. Oh, this is really simple. No, it's really easy. Just think it. No. Usually when people preface an argument or what they're about to say with plain and simple, it's usually not a plain and simple thing. They're trying to coerce you into thinking it's plain and simple so you can see it through their viewpoint. So if anybody ever says plain and simple, or another pet peeve of mine is when somebody prefaces something with obviously, whenever I hear people say obviously, then I'm fine-tuned into what they're going to say, because usually it's not obvious. Another little catchphrase, what they don't know can't hurt them. Well, no. When there are cases when those things you're doing behind their back, if it does catch up to them, it does start to hurt them. People would argue, well, if it's hurting them, now they know about it. Well, yeah, but it's after the fact. They didn't know about it. It did hurt them. So I don't agree with that phrase. Now, biggest one, this, I guess, to speak of making a catchphrase, if I were to make one up, I'll throw this one at you guys here. The whole... And this one's not mine, I'm going to get to mine, but the whole idea of preaching to the converted, maybe I can be criticized of that, you know? But I don't really see that as what I'm doing. And here's my catchphrase, amplifying the choir. Because, you know, another catchphrase is preaching to the choir and all that stuff. And yeah, I know most of the people I'm talking to right now, they are probably on my side. If they're not, I'll probably get some hate mail, and that's fine. But I would say amplifying the choir, because some of the choir isn't active. They're not very loud. So if I'm able, and I don't know if I'm effective or not, but if I'm able to get people to act on the way they already feel, or just to spread the meme even farther, then I don't see that as a bad thing that I'm saying the same thing to the people that already agree with what I agree with. It's more about amplifying them and getting them to act. It's kind of like, you know, with the elections, you know, so you got the two parties, party A, party B. I don't want to get super political. Say party A, you know, like only 30% of them are actually going to vote. Well, say it's the same with the other side, only 30% of them are going to vote. So it's not a matter of converting people to the other political philosophy, but a good strategy would be to get some of those people that wouldn't normally vote to get out and vote. That's amplifying the choir, and you can win that way. Before I forget, one last thing I'd like to say, more of a reminder, is on the website, which is www.antimeme.org, for anti-meme, there's a pictures or a gallery section, a black spotting gallery basically, and it's just to try to promote others black spotting, defacing, or covering up corporate logos, and I've been participating a little bit. We have had other people participating, but I just think it's a really fun project, and I know others that are talking about stuff they'd like to do. I just like to see more pictures. I think it's really cool, so, you know, just reminding people, maybe, you know, in case they forgot, I'm not expecting a whole lot, but I just think it'd be kind of cool to see people participate in it. So I just thought I'd bring that up again. Now is the part of the show where I give shouts. I have a couple of shouts for this show. One goes out to Seth. He's this cat that I met from New River. It's Arizona. It's this crappy little town up north of Phoenix. But just the other night, he was able to give me a tattoo. Very affordable price. But it's like a third of the way done so far. But it's turning out really good. He's a beginner doing tattoos, but he does have some good experience under his belt, and he's pretty much picking up quicker than most artists out there. So this time with this tattoo, I didn't go to a professional shop. I had him do it, but it looks as good as it was done from a professional shop. So I'm really impressed with it. I have to give him shouts. My other shout goes to my newfound dad. Haven't really talked to him in about 20 years, and that's no exaggeration, actually. Turns out he found me, through, of all other mediums, MySpace. yes, I do have an account on MySpace, but, I'm not a scene whore or anything. I do it for the bands and the venues, and I get a lot of good news that way, but, yeah, no, maybe I'm a scene whore, whatever, fuck you guys, but anyway, I had to give shouts to him because it turns out he's a pretty cool guy. He's really big into music, he has a really huge studio as far as music goes, so props to that. So yeah, shouts to him, and he's been listening to the episodes too, so that's cool. And other than that, question everything, including the kitchen sink.